And everybody said, amen. If you find yourself out on a road trip and you're lost, what do you do? You look, may need to rephrase that. I think Bruce is there with me here. Because if you do get lost, someone who has navigational skills as good as mine, we never get lost. And so in turn, maybe it's our pride that we won't want to admit that we're lost or even stop for to get direction. So if you ever are out driving on a road trip and you find yourself lost, what do you do? I'm asking for a friend, because it's obviously not me. But you know, before the days of technology, Luke, do you know what this is? Yeah, did y'all ever use one of these? It's what you have, a map here. A lot of young folks here, you've probably never seen that here. It unfolds about a million times here, but we would use these, and it's great. It has pictures of where all the roads are going to go, and it tells you how to get there. It even has like little details of if you're going into a major city of where you're going to go. And so we used a map to help us get us to the place that we needed to go. There was one time my wife, Melanie, she was going to a ministry conference in South Carolina, and we were up in Virginia, so I pulled through my maps and gave her the South Carolina map and told her good luck. And she went down there and called me back later the night. Well, how did it go? She said, I got lost. I said, what happened? And she said, well, that map you gave me was so old, it didn't have some of the roads on there that I needed to get there. I said, well, it's South Carolina. Who would have thought they would have built new roads? Well, then later on, Luke, we had this thing that you would turn your computer on, and it's a desktop. You wait about 10 minutes for it to boot up, and then you would plug your modem in through the phone line, and you would get this thing called MapQuest. You type the address in, and it gives you turn by turns. You print it out, and you take that with you, never to get lost. It was perfect, except I was going to a ministry conference in South Carolina one time, and I was down in Myrtle Beach. I was on Ocean Boulevard, and I'm looking for my retreat center, and I'm seeing this empty lot. And I called my buddy. He says, well, it's actually in North Myrtle Beach, not Myrtle Beach. And so that was my fault. I guess it wasn't MapQuest. Well, then they come up with this new technology, Garmin's. We were on the mission field in Alabama, and my mom and dad, for Christmas, they bought me this Garmin GPS, which was perfect. It allowed you to put the address in, and it gave you turn-by-turn direction. You could even change the voices. Do any of y'all remember that? You have the British or the English accent. Well, when you get to Alabama, it's a little-known fact that Bubba comes on there, and he'll tell you which way to go. Boy, you just missed your turn. You better turn around here. And so we would travel a lot. We were heading down to Florida one time. I think we're somewhere in the middle of the state. And when the boys were little, driving 10 hours, we liked to stop and just stretch our legs. So we put into our GPS a park. And so it was going to lead us to the nearest park. Well, Bubba or whoever it was led us to this abandoned lot that we did not get out to do. So even with some of the best technology, it still leads us in wrong directions, places that we wouldn't want to go. I know now we don't even use those. We just have our phone, and Apple Maps or Google Maps will tell us where to go. It tells us how much traffic is out there. Some of those apps even tells you where the popo's at, so you don't have to worry. But they will sometimes, and a lot of times, fail us. We still need guidance. We were in Alabama, and there was a mission team that had came down. They were going to do some work on a home. They were going to put a roof in. And so I was getting ready to give them the directions in order to get to where they were going. And the guy on the mission team leader, he said, just give me the address. I've got these GPS right here. I said, no, you're going to need my directions. No, just give me the address. So I said, okay, it's box 32, rural route 12, Uniontown, Alabama. And I watched him type that in and just kind of, y'all know what happened here. That time, this is 2008, folks, they still hadn't implemented a 911 system. So they haven't redone the addresses to be able to use the GPS. So GPS, it would work. He just couldn't type the right address in. And so I told folks, I said, first of all, if you get hurt, don't call 911 because nobody's coming. Go to Selma. It's east. That's where the hospital is. And so even with GPS and all this technology, you still were going to get lost. You still needed help. You still needed guidance. So I gave him the directions, and it included, like, there's a barn here, turn left at the barn, then turn right by the shed, and then you're just going to look for a greenhouse with a white car out front. We need those specific directions to get us to places that we're going to go. Today, we finish our sermon series, New Year, Same Promises. And so we're looking at God's promise of guidance. The first step for us to accept God's promise of guidance is to admit that we are lost and we need help. Why is it so hard for us to admit that we're lost, that we need help, that we need to actually stop and ask for directions? At my home church, First Baptist Salisbury, I was leading a college and career class, and so we were heading up to the Nantahala River for a rafting trip. I've been there numerous times, and so I didn't really need the directions. I knew you took 40, and then you took Highway 19, I think 74, follow the signs, and you would be there. It was getting dark, and so we were heading up 40, and I saw a sign for 19. I took it, and after about 15 minutes, I didn't recognize a few things, but that didn't stop me. I kept driving for about another 45 minutes before I decided to stop and not really ask for the directions, just to reconfirm I'm on the right path. And the guy said, Nantahala, he said, man, you're in Yancey County. Is that not near Nantahala? And apparently I took 19 north out of Asheville instead of taking 19 south. But long story short, I wasn't willing to admit that I was lost. We need guidance. We need help. We need to admit that we're lost. So when we look to receive God's promise of guidance, we admit we're lost. We receive God's grace. We even sing that song, I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's amazing grace that comes and saves us. And because of that grace, our sins are forgiven, never to be lost again. So then as believers, once we have accepted that grace, once our sins are forgiven, we've been found, then why is it so often that we find ourselves lost again, or at least feeling like we're lost? A lot of times it's because we wander, we stray. We either forget or we refuse to turn to God to ask for directions, to ask for help. What we need is a map. So then, this guidance that God promises, what is the map that we're able to turn to? Well, one map is the Bible. We are Baptists, which means we are people of the book. But sometimes it's hard to read or to understand all that is in this book. We've got the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the New Testament has the gospels and the epistles, and sometimes we struggle to understand everything that God has laid out for us, this map that we're to follow. So what I wanted to do is to look at a text in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. And this is where Jesus is talking specifically about the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Last week, we looked at God's promise of blessings, those beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And we remember that we talked about the beatitudes were to be viewed as wisdom literature. They were not to be viewed as the law. But we mentioned that the law is one form of God's blessings. what Jesus here is referring to, the law is the first five books in the Old Testament, sometimes called the Torah. These were sacred texts, and so any good Jew would live by these laws. They were made right by the laws. And so when Jesus started talking about the law, their ears perked up. They paid attention. First, he says, I have not come to do away with the law. So there, those attentive Jews, especially the religious authorities, the Pharisees, they liked this point that Jesus was making. They could get behind this point because they didn't like Jesus coming and messing with the law or touching something that was supposed to be so sacred. He then says that I have come to fulfill the law, to make their teachings come true. And then in verse 19, Jesus says, obedience to the law is a measure of greatness in God's kingdom. We're not to live and do just what feels good, but there's an order to Christianity. There's obedience in our faith. There's a map that we need to follow. And then he goes on and says, we must be faithful to the law, more faithful than the Pharisees. Now, this is probably what a lot of us would struggle with. And a lot of the folks who are hearing this would have a hard time struggling, because the Pharisees were those religious authority who, they were the experts in the law. They knew the law backwards and forwards. They ate, drank, and slept the law. So how could they uphold the law better than these experts? How could we expect to do this, what Jesus is telling us that we need to do? What kind of map is this for us, for our guidance? So to understand this last statement, to really get to what Jesus was trying to make his point, we need to look ahead to his ministries and teachings. Later on in Matthew in chapter 12, we've got where Jesus and disciples were hungry. So he says, go ahead and eat. So they're walking through the field and they pick up some of the grain and they eat. Nothing wrong with that, except it was on Sunday, the Sabbath. Well, you're not supposed to work on Sunday, and that's picking up grain. And so they were not upholding the law. Later on, when they were hungry again, getting ready to eat, Jesus said, y'all go ahead and eat. Didn't make them wash their hands. That was something they were supposed to do. Or they were supposed to be fasting. He says, you can fast later. You can go ahead and eat now. There was even one time where this man with a hurt hand, he comes into the temple. Jesus heals him. There's nothing wrong with that, but it was on Sunday again, and you're not supposed to do work on Sunday. So all these instances, Jesus and the disciples, they were breaking this law that he has told them that they have to uphold, to not do away with. First, we can maybe understand here that Jesus, he put aside this petty law. If you're hungry, then eat. If someone came to you starving and just wanted a bowl of soup, well, in order for me to go to the cupboard and open up the can of soup and to heat it up and give it to you on a Sunday, that's doing work. That's too much work for me. And so come back tomorrow and I'll feed you. No, Jesus, he put aside those petty laws. Next, Jesus, he reinterpreted the basic law. If you look on through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, specifically verses 21 through 48, it's filled with illustrations of how Jesus reinterpreted the law, this basic law. In 21, he gives a specific example. He brings up the sixth commandment, do not murder. He says, you've heard it says, do not murder, but now I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment. So before, this was an easy commandment, easy law for us to follow. We don't go around murdering people. But then Jesus, he reinterprets, I've even heard it said, he raises the bar. It's a higher expectation for our Christian life by saying, we don't need to be angry at those around us. If I was to ask for a show of hands of who's obeyed this commandment, we could all probably raise our hands and say, we've not murdered anybody, but then, are you angry with your brother? There's folks that I've gotten angry before on numerous occasions. There's probably folks that are angry with me at this time. It makes it a little more challenging for us to follow. But see, Jesus, he challenges us. He pushes us to be better. He guides us on the path that we need to take. And so as we look towards God's promise of guidance, and then Jesus coming and talking about the laws throughout Scripture, he puts aside those petty laws. I mean, it's good advice. We shouldn't be eating our food with dirty hands and things like that, but at the same time, if you're starving, you're going to eat. That law of the Sabbath, I mean, that's good advice. We should take a day to rest. I was talking to a farmer recently who said that, you know, in the harvest time, I hate to do it, but we have to work on Sunday. I said, well, that's all right. I'll work on Sunday too. But I find another day during the week. That's my Sabbath. That's my day to rest. Jesus puts aside that petty law. He guides us by reinterpreting those basic laws. He raises the bar. He challenges us to turn the other cheek. And then finally, he affirms eternal law. There's some parts of the law that they're for all time. We're to love each other. We're to forgive each other. As God in Christ has forgiven us, we're to be compassionate. We're to be hopeful. So we do have the Bible as our map, as God's promise of guidance. But then at the same time, we have the person of Christ to reinterpret that law, to show us a path. And I'd say ultimately then, God's promise of guidance for us is Christ. So that any time that we are looking for which direction we need to go, we need to reinterpret it through what Christ would teach about it. What direction would Jesus want us to do? God gave us the Ten Commandments, but then Jesus gave us just those two greatest commandments. We'll be talking about those in the next two Sundays. To love God, to love your neighbor, and to love yourself. On our insert today, we have God's promise of guidance, and on the back is the scripture passage about salt and light. This challenge that we are to be salt and we are to be light. I was reminded of how salty things were when I ate a piece of bacon at our brotherhood breakfast this morning. I think I got all the salt in the bag on that one piece that was there. But we know that salt is a preservative. Salt is something that is good to help preserve our culture, our society. Someone put it once this way, salt is what we say, and light is what we do. Sometimes God is calling us to be that map to other peoples. God is putting us in positions and places where we are that presence of Christ, where we are to be that salt and light to those that are in need. People are listening to what we say, and people are watching what we do. So when we are in those positions, when we are able to be that presence, may we be salt and light to those that are in need. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for all the promises that you have given us through Scripture. I thank you for that promise specifically of guiding us down the path that we need to take. And Lord, I imagine that many here have made that decision long ago to not be lost anymore, but to know you personally. We've made that decision, our sins have been forgiven, but we found ourselves, God, sometimes struggling, sometimes turning down the wrong way and our pride or just our busyness or whatever it might be prevents us from asking for help, for asking for your guidance and directions. God, I pray that you'll use our scripture, that you'll use the Spirit, that you'll use our brothers and sisters around us to reveal to us the path that we need to take, the road in which you want us to go. And I thank you, God, for walking that road with us. Continue to lead and guide us. We ask these in Christ's name. Amen.